Listen as we delve into the depths of the undiscovered, as we give acknowledgement to the heart and determination to those who earned it. We speak of independent scenes and comics. No publisher, no problem. We are your voice. This podcast is for alternative reading, as Shane, Dodgy, Tiderman, and Almega give you the flip side focus.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a very special edition of the Flipside Focus. I am your host, the Random Dude Josh, and with me today we have two very special guests. And of course, I have to include the CEO of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network and Comic Crusaders, Almega. Al, how's it going?
I'm doing fantastic. What's up, everyone?
Fantastic. And then another special guest that we have before we get to the man of the hour is a reviewer from Comic Crusaders who is making his Undercover Capes podcast debut, if you want to call it that, Led Sharp. Led, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, yeah. I'm a special guest, apparently. Well, okay. Yeah,
you are very special, of course. With this episode, we are reviewing a very awesome book today, and we are lucky enough to be able to spend the time with the creator of this book, Rapid Eye, and the creator is Bobby Torres. Bobby, how's it going?
Well, as well. Thank you. I appreciate being here.
Awesome. Well, again, you know, thank you so much for taking the time out of the busy weekend, especially with it being a holiday weekend. To sit down, chat with us, and to talk about your very awesome book. I'm excited to dive into this. I'm excited to hear your thoughts about the creation of the book, where you hope to see it go, and all that jazz. So,
cool.
So I guess we'll just dive right into it. Now, both Al, Led, and myself, we have read your book, and I'm going to speak for myself, but I'm willing to bet that the other two, we love the book. It was a fantastic read, and
that's great.
No, I loved it.
And I'm just kind of curious, what, you know, so it's the story about a CIA agent who is being hunted, but it's taken, I guess the best way I was able to relate to it was it's taken in the turn of, very similar to Inception, where not only is he being hunted in real life, but he's also being hunted in his dreams.
That's correct. I almost feel like Inception is part of the recipe for this title.
Okay,
so that's your inspiration, you would say?
It's definitely part of it. You know, I mean, I haven't necessarily seen many media outlets that spotlight dream invasion. Except for, you know, Freddy Krueger, of course, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah. Exactly. I kind of saw when elements of the book, you know, once they would wake up and how physically damaging some of these actual dream attacks were. I just thought Freddy.
Led was cutting in and out a little bit there. He must be in the dream world, too.
He's actually on an ATM machine right now.
Yes, yes. Okay, so diving into that, the ATM machine, for our listeners who haven't read the book yet, because it hasn't come out yet, correct, if I remember right?
No, it's actually coming out September 24th.
Okay. Oh, wow. We really got a sneak preview. Fantastic. So for our listeners, what is an ATM machine? What is the purpose of it?
Yeah, so the ATM acronym, it stands for the Access Trance Machine. And in the book, the inventor, his name is Dr. Norman, I mean, my apologies, it's actually Dr. Harvey Krupcake. And he develops this technology to invade people's dreams. Now, initially, his vision for this technology is for good. You know, he wants to use it to help understand the human mind, the human psyche. But there's a different outlet, a group of individuals who are part of the CIA, who actually want to use this technology for their own gain. And it could be for secret missions or to try to obtain information from individuals without the individuals knowing that they're actually being infiltrated.
Okay.
That's a very sick concept.
Taking a tool, and obviously with any sort of tool, whatever the case may be, regardless of the intention or the intent, there's always going to be people out there who use it for alternative methods.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So where did you come up with the concept of this, of the ATM?
Well, you know, it's a weird, you know, kind of realm when you get into the creative process. Sometimes you just get an epiphany. And I felt like I was speaking with my co-writer. We actually worked together in Manhattan in a high-rise building. And, you know, we were just talking about, you know, different concepts of maybe, you know, something we can use to develop a comic. And Rapid Eye, the concept of Dream Invasion, just came up forth. So in the midst of developing it and creating it, the ATM idea, it just flourished. It was not something that I actually had to think, you know, and set forth. It just kind of like was handed over to me mentally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's probably the best way I could explain it. I can't say that I dreamt it, but
yeah.
But it just, you know, as I was writing and creating it, it almost fluidly found its mark within the project.
That's fantastic. So how long have you been working on this book from the moment that the idea was conceived to this point where we're talking about the book?
Yeah, and actually, you know, getting connected with Tenacious, how was that whole process?
All right, so the idea originally came September 2015, and this was a month before the New York Comic Con. Right.
Okay.
And we, you know, my co-writer, we always discuss, you know, what's the plan for New York Comic Con, because we always attend.
Yeah.
But we just had this idea where, you know, we're consumers. Let's be creators. So we used that opportunity of Comic Con to speak with other creators and people within the business. And they gave us some invaluable advice. Now, I can see one avenue that they gave us was self-publishing, right?
So that's a tough market to get into, trying to self-publish.
Yeah, it's very difficult. It is very difficult. Yeah, you know, pitching to the majors, and I say majors, you know, Dark Horse and Image, you know, it's almost an impossibility. So the advice that we received in Comic-Con was, you know, self-publish, you know, put your money into it, and it's the best way to get something created. So okay. I was looking through a forum online called Zoll, and there was a gentleman by the name of Luke Stone who was starting an imprint, and he was discussing this fantastic concept of this imprint where it's a bunch of creators, this co-op that just come forth together and share each other's resources and help each other with their project. So it's almost as if you join Tenacious, you're a creator, but everyone else's project within this imprint is part of you as well.
Okay, so everybody is self-vested in, but also vested in the other projects as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. So, like, you know, Luke...
Community.
Exactly. It's a great representation of the indie community as a whole. And recently someone almost, you know, they gave a comparison of it being like the hippie, hipster kind of imprint of the indie community.
Here we are. Already putting labels on.
Yeah. So, but you know, Luke, you know, I pitched him the idea, and Luke Stone, he's the founder of Tenacious Comics.
Okay.
He was pretty thrilled with the idea. He was actually familiar because I used to post photos on Facebook groups, and it just became a partnership. You know, my project became his. I became part of Tenacious, and his project became mine. We picked up other creators. And we're very excited to be launching our first titles and getting it out for the world to read.
So you got to send them books on over to Comic Crusaders for review. You know, we love indie, man. It's more press, and you know, this is great. So, you know, what's the roster looking like for Tenacious?
Yeah, so, I could. We have, there's a title called Worst Day Ever, and that is basically a zombie apocalypse that is, it's in process. But what's different about the zombie apocalypse is that the zombies themselves are a part of everyday life. And what I mean by that is they have jobs. And they don't even know they're zombies.
Huh.
So,
now, yeah, so, I have to ask, is that going to be a very gory type zombie apocalypse? Because our man here, Al, he loves gore. He loves violence.
And I love zombies, always have. Yeah, let me tell you, man, I was an early adopter of the Walking Dead, and I was telling people, you got to read this. People were like, oh, it's black and white. I'm like, you're so stupid. And then look at now, everybody's sweating it, you know?
I've heard the rumor that Al Mega loves the horror stuff. So.
Oh, it's so true.
This book, is it colored?
It's colored.
Like what?
It's a very particular palette. It's almost a like a pastel gorge green.
Okay.
But there's definitely some chopped, you know, heads and gory aspects to it. But there's also a very humane storyline to it. You know, it's about a guy who just wants to make a living. You know, try to pay his bills. You know, try to find the right.
Don't we all?
Yeah. But at the same time, he has to do this, you know, during a zombie apocalypse, and his job is advertising for this food. I guess you can call it a store, where he's dressed as a hot dog. So I mean, it's the title is called Worst Day Ever, and it's he's most likely having the worst day of his life as this, you know, process goes through in this story.
I can't imagine just as a hot dog during the zombie apocalypse. I guess another way to keep them away, huh?
Yeah.
Sounds like that's going to be a book you're going to have to review there, Al.
that sounds like fun.
Yeah, just imagine the pun, eat me, right?
That's awesome.
So, and then
go ahead.
Yeah, there's another title titled Augmented, and I'm very excited about this title. This one is going to be released in October, and it's about a protagonist who fell into prison, and his way out of prison is by fighting in this augmented league. It's like MMA on steroids. I mean, these individuals who are fighting, they're applied with these apparatuses that enhance the capabilities of fighting and absorbing punishment and being subdued. And so, you know, that being said, the protagonist is approached by this company who wants to apply this apparatus, you know, onto his body. And in return, he has to fight for the company and represent the company, not knowing that the company is actually going to eventually control his life.
Hmm.
So he himself is being used as the marketing tool.
Exactly.
I love shit like that, brother. Wow, good stuff, man. Who's the creative team behind that?
Yeah, so the creative team is his name is Bill Stoddard, and I almost probably pronounced his last name wrong. I hope he doesn't, you know, get upset. But you know, his name is Bill Stoddard, and I've read other scripts that he has in progress. He's an immensely talented writer.
That's fantastic.
Great.
You know, as you were describing the different titles that Tenacious Comics has, I'm impressed because you guys aren't taking the best way to approach it. You're not taking the stereotypical superhero approach as you would see in, say, the big two, or even in with like Dark Horse or Image Comics. You guys are taking a very unique approach to that, and that definitely is something that, at least to me, having been getting into more indie comics and reading different titles and new characters, that you guys are taking this very creative approach aside from the traditional superhero approach. And so I think it's fantastic that you guys are doing that.
Agreed there. A very good direction. You know, got to keep it with that sazón, right?
Yeah. Got to put that spice into it, right?
Yeah, man. Exactly. Throw something different, not the atypical stuff, and hope that it hits. And, you know, we're here to support, man. And how are you distributing the books? I mean, how many shops is it going through? Diamond?
Well, you know, Diamond would be the most optimal choice and the preference, but you know, we're grinding, so we're taking a very old school approach, and we're reaching out to stores ourselves. You know, we compiled the list of over 400 stores in the United States, and we've been sending them packets of our material, trying our best to give a competitive rate, a cost that Diamond would ultimately, you know, has hold on. And we've been fortunate to have a few interested retailers, but it's the grind, it's the struggle. And you know, our goal is to get into Diamond.
Okay. Excellent. So, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you at least the emails to my two local comic shops and hit them up. I'm sure they'll definitely listen. That way you could bring it out. You know, the shops you're hitting right now, majorly, are they in New York, Jersey? Are you hitting Northeast?
Yeah, well, since it's a co-op, a lot of the creators are spread throughout the state. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, so my responsibility will be New York, New Jersey, Connecticut,
What about Mass? All right, because I'm gonna send you two emails right now for two shops in Mass, and I could even send you more. You know, and a show of support, man. These local comic shops are definitely always are very indie supportive.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Thanks.
Ahí está, man. Checking this guy.
I appreciate it.
So, yeah, Brooklyn in the house. Yeah. Go.
For our listeners, I'll quickly interject. Unfortunately, Led has taken a trip on the ATM. Not quite sure if he'll be back.
Man.
He's in the dream world now. So,
yeah, unfortunately, man, being across the pond, them wires cut short, and I don't know where them agents are at right now. But Led, man, if you hear me, get out.
Yeah. Well, his memory will live on, right?
Yep.
So we got to get back into Rapid Eye, though. Yep. You know, but that's the in focus right now, man. And going forward, how many issues have you laid out? I mean, how far along are you in the story, if you will?
Well, I've, you know, script-wise, I'm already 3 issues in. And in development, I've, you know, issue 1 is complete. And issue 2 is nearly, I would say, 60% complete. Because it's a process, you know, this whole entire creating aspect, you know, and this learning process, you know, issue 1, you find all the mistakes and all the trials and tribulations and figuring this out and the best method for that. So I believe that it was a long process for issue 1, but the remaining issues would be a lot quicker to develop.
Yeah. Yeah, now you're in that groove, so you're in the flow.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and hopefully that when the book comes out, with the push that, you know, because I looked up your book and I saw it on Kickstarter, and I had seen other articles talking about it prior to me contacting you. It seems like at least online, it looks like it's getting a very good push. It's getting a lot of notice about the book, and that's what caught my eye. And then as I read a little more deeper into it, that's where I was like, "Oh, wow, dude, this book looks awesome. I want to check this out."
Yeah. So, how do you pronounce the name of the last name of your artist? Is it Raul Roque?
Yeah, Raul Roque.
Roque.
Gotcha. He's based in the Philippines, and
okay.
Also the colorist Ronson Eldelon is based in the Philippines.
All right, so we got. And what about you, yourself and Anthony? Where are you guys from?
We're from New York. We're New Yorkers. You know, we're both born in Brooklyn.
Gotcha. Heritage wise.
Puerto Rican.
Boricua, ahí está, los dos.
No, he's Colombian in it. So.
Okay, so you got a Colombian, a Puerto Rican, a couple of Filipinos. Awesome, man. Talk about diverse.
Yeah, it's very diverse. And then Nick J. Shaw, which is our letterer and designer, he's based in Australia.
Oh, look at that. From Oz,
ooh,
man.
So the other host that we have on the Flip Side Focus, Dodgy, he's from Sydney, so.
Nice. Wait, you know, himself, he's really a letterer. He's really blown up. He's done a title called The Fix, and I'm not sure if you guys read that, but.
Was that from Image?
From Image, yeah. From
I'm familiar with the title. I don't remember if I read it. I read too many things.
Oh, man. Good, man.
Hey, you know, being from New York, you get the good stuff. I'll read that there, you know?
Yeah, tú sabes.
I'm sorry, Josh. The Spanish is going
to
come out.
You know, I kind of expected that.
Boricua stuff to happen.
You know, it's funny. When we were setting this opportunity up, as I was going through preparing, I'm like, we got to get Al Megan on this. It's a must.
Yeah, man. No, because I'm some real stuff, man. You know, I want to see more of our people do out, you know, get out there. We have a lot of great ideas and concepts. I mean, in comic books, we're hardly really representing. Let's get real. I mean, I made a list, my dude, of Boricua first apps in comics, and dude, it was about maybe 13, 14 original Boricua characters were all very stereotypical type of aspect.
Yeah, I agree.
All I want to see in a Latino character in general, whether he's Boricua, Colombian, whatever, is that, you know, let's not put the race stereotypes first. Let's just develop the character. You know, yeah, he's Latino, but he's this first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to see, like, Marvel patting themselves on the back over Mosaic, for example. Oh, you know, we got a new original black character. All right, but you also did a Latino and Robbie Reyes becoming Ghost Rider. They didn't say anything about that, right?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's like, yo, you know, why we got to get ignored for? We out there, too, and I see that there's a very... a lot of lack of Latinos out there and comic characters that I could relate to at the very least.
You know, and I'm glad that you just said that. Yeah, there's a very inspiring creator who's really advocating for Boricuas and the Taino people. His name is Edgardo Rodriguez, and he developed this character called La Borinquena.
Yeah, saw that.
Yeah, and
but there's controversy behind that too. There was another creator, creator called Body Girl.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in the back. Unfortunately, why is it that when Boricua creates something, there's always got to be some drama, man?
it's built in our culture, I guess, right?
You know what I'm saying? It's that Telemundo aspect to it all of a sudden. Dios mío. Can we all just get along? No. All right, no. Well, all right, I'm saying, right, go ahead with the... Yeah, explain to people about La Borinquena.
Well, she's, you know, from my understanding and what Edgardo's doing, and it's funny because my editor, Jack Rossia, he's really good friends with him because he's based in New York. So his
I saw that, out of Grand Street.
Yeah, right there. So his he's trying to... bring awareness to the financial crisis in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, what's a crisis? It's a disaster, brother.
Yeah. So, you know, from I believe that this the La Borinquena is a representation of hope and perseverance, and a character that, you know, Puerto Ricans can look at and feel like we're strong and we're, you know. I I'm sure you're gonna agree with me. The Puerto Rican woman is a strong woman, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And I feel like him selecting a female to represent Puerto, you know, the Puerto Rican culture is spot on, because there's nothing more, and I want to say this correctly, there's nothing more defining in regards to the strength of the Puerto Rican culture than Puerto Rican women.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and you know, if you could reference our own mothers, you know, like, you know.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Stand their arms and show a lot of love, but don't laugh for me. No, I definitely get it, man. That definitely. And I agree with that. And I was happy to see that. Actually, my wife had pointed that out to me via Crazy Legs Instagram account when he had shared that image. I was like, wow, yo, I want to review this. No, I didn't reach out. Still waiting for an answer. But definitely, come on, man. This is a Boricua own website. You know, who better?
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, I'll you know, I could reach out to Jack. Jack and Agardo, they've been friends for years. Actually, they were in a hip-hop, you know, he actually used to manage my editor's hip-hop group at one time.
What group was that?
It was called The Disciples.
The Disciples?
Yeah.
So, okay. I'm not too familiar.
No, what was that? It was back in the days where New Yorican, you know, was a big thing and
oh, back in the Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Oh!
The Beat Nuts just came out.
Oh, man, yeah, I got to see them in costume. That was pretty dope.
Oh, man.
Right there in Casablanca.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, years ago. But definitely I'm a hip-hop fan, no doubt.
That's fantastic.
It's true. So, Bobby, I wanted to, you know, ask you a couple questions, you know, bringing it back to your book. You know, I was just browsing through, and the one thing I saw interesting was... there's something that you have Eddie said. He's like, here's the problem. I can resist everything except temptation. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be very interesting that, you know, he's asleep. They use the ATM to, you know, go into his mind. And what they found was something that they did not anticipate by any means. And I thought it was really cool that was something that you incorporated, that even in the dream state, he falls victim, or any of us fall victim to our own temptations.
Yeah, yeah, you did, absolutely. But somehow was very aware of it.
Yeah. So is
which
that
is pretty cool.
So is that going to be something in later issues that may come back to bite Eddie in the ass?
Well. I don't have anything set up in regards to that particular invasion sequence, but you know the setup I think is something that I'm going to use for future issues. So you know when Eddie was speaking to a supervisor and he had a glance at a particular photo, which led to the reveal and the whole chase scene and dream. I want to give those hints, those subtle hints where, you know, you don't know what you're getting into when your dream is being invaded. So if I, you know, give a small little subtle setup where you can maybe see a photo or you can, there's a scene or maybe I'll do a captions of a music, you know, quote, but then it reveals itself in the dream that's being infiltrated. So I think what's fun about writing this is that the world is infinite. I mean, I can write and do anything, and I can bend the rules of what the norm is. And I could even play with what people and the human nature won't admit in real life, but they can fully admit and live it in the dream realm.
Yeah. And that was something that I found to be really cool. And I love the idea that you can interject little bits of stuff, like you said, whether it's a picture, whether it's a line from a particular song, or glancing at someone. And if the reader doesn't catch on to that, when it goes into the dream state, they're looking at this going, wait, what just happened? And then they'll go back and try to look for those little pieces. So I think that's fantastic. That you're doing that, and that's definitely one of the benefits of being in the position you are, because you have complete and total creative control of how Eddie's fate will go and the adventures that he will have.
Well, you know, I know that, you know, the first issue, it was I always feel like, you know, when I was speaking to other creators and even the creators within Tenacious Comics, the first issue was the most difficult issue to develop.
Yeah.
But the following issues, they weren't that difficult, and they were a lot more fun to write. I'm not sure. So
you know what it is? I believe that your first issue is that moment, like with the singer, that stage fright coming on. Oh my God, this is my first issue. But you know what? I think you delivered highly on it. It's just in my opinion. just because you developed story, but you also left a lot of questions that would definitely hook me into now getting number two. So my friend, job well done.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I immensely appreciate that. You know, it's this project's my baby, and it's been my baby for almost 8 months now. And I really wanted to depict, you know, I really wanted to explore avenues where a reader can pick up the first issue, start the first page, and not realize it finished. And that's kind of how I wanted the first issue to relate to the reader. Like, you know, let me start this book. I turn to the first page. I'm right into the action. And then, wait a minute, it's finished already. I want to know what's next. And that's really where I felt that Tony, my co-writer, he was huge on helping set up the pace of the story. I think that he did fantastic with some specific ideas where we were able to execute it.
And you guys definitely, you hit that mark. And I can say that coming from me, because when it comes to comics, or even movies for that example, if my attention isn't captured, when it comes to comic books, if I'm not captured, honestly, in the first three pages, it's very difficult for me to buy into it. With TV shows, you know, it takes me about two or three episodes. If I'm not convinced after that point, I have to say that I won't, you know, I'll knock it down or anything. It's just, it's not for me. And so to have your book, you know, within the first two pages, and to have Eddie show up and I don't want to spoil too much for the readers, but to see what he saw, I'm sitting here going, oh, shit, this is, you know, it hooked me. And now I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep reading. I want to know what's going on. And by the end of the issue, I'm like, oh, man, I wish I had issue number two. I want number two now. So.
Yeah, you don't have it, by the way.
I have the script. but I do have some fun art that I can send you guys, so you guys can get a first glance on what issue two is going to look like.
Yeah.
As I said, man, Comic Book City is definitely open to showing love to Tenacious Comics and let the world know that there's yet another option to the big two to enjoy.
Yeah. And especially with the way that your story is going, definitely something that. You know, again, speaking for myself, as each issue comes out, I'd love to be able to review them and show you and your book the love that it deserves, because it really is a fantastic story.
It will be an honor for you guys to review and take a look at it. You know, and I'm so humbled by this support, and that's why I love this community. You know, it's a very supportive community, and that's why, you know, transitioning from a consumer to a creator was so easy, because this community is so welcoming.
Yeah.
Well, as it should be, man, because there's a lot of talent out there that unfortunately goes unnoticed, can't compete. You know, because the big boys are thinking dollars and not people. So on this side of that aspect, you know, people come first. You get to meet the creators. Believe me, out here where I'm at now, I get to go to a lot of cons, and I get to talk to a lot of creators, a lot of established creators, a lot of new creators. And them being so receptive and enthusiastic is a delight, man. You know, and that's why I did Comic Crew. That's why we do it on the Cover Cave, to show that love back to a culture that has given also to us. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. I mean, we love comics. I mean...
Yeah, man. Well, I used to. I don't know how old you are, but back when I was a kid, we had the Grand Book Center. That's where I would go to pick up like books for a quarter, 50 cents. I would get a stack full of oldies and new goodies at the time. It was nuts. I missed that shop. the stuff that I must have touched that I didn't realize, if I only knew.
All
that,
right.
Then, coño, what? I'd be talking to you from a mansion. Right?
Everyone's dropped a gem, right? Everyone's dropped a gem in the.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, my friends dropped Walking Dead number one when I was telling them to pick it up. Nobody listened to me because it's black and white. Que come mierda, right?
Yeah. It's funny you say that because my co-writer used to go to cons and see that, you know, him sitting, you know, Robert Kirkman sitting on his own with a stack of Walking Dead ones. And he said, oh, I'm not going to go check that out. And now, you know, fast forward a few years later, and it's like a relationship. It's like the one that got away, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Muchacho, you know, you don't know the bank I made on that. I have 1 through 95, and, you know, I needed some bank, so I did what I did and made the ultimate sacrifice. But that sacrifice is well worth it.
The turnover is the Walking Dead 1, you know, and the series itself is the most popular modern-day comic book, you know,
And they're pushing Negan now, and there's been you're going to see Negan on multiple covers now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, doing like guest spots, smashing somebody else's head for a change of seal.
Yeah, he's a fun character.
Yeah, man. So Robbie, man, if you had the chance to write any character, and I mean any character across the spectrum, who would it be and why?
I can easily answer that. Constantine.
Oh, shit. Why? Oh, I want to hear this. Why?
Constantine. Well, he's my favorite character, you know, in general. Even when the television show ended and it didn't get rave reviews.
Yo, dude, isn't that shit crazy? Tell me that Exorcist episode wasn't one of the dopest episodes you've seen on
TV. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? And I'm like, people gave up on this. No. They're so stupid. I'm happy that CW kind of had a guest star, and I hope that there's enough steam, man. And money out there, they give that show a shot again,
should,
man.
They should, because he played an amazing Constantine as well. He was the Constantine I envisioned.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well done, you know, a snotty Brit with an attitude. But, you know, got the job done. You know, and imagine, they didn't even get to bring in Zatanna or anything. Oh, man.
And if you notice, so right, they had a little bit of a Puerto Rican folklore. They had the Brutería, so...
Yeah, they definitely did, which is pretty cool, you know? So again, people, you missed out, but again, why do you want to write?
Well,
I
just feel like, you know, I love the supernatural genre, and I feel I could really do that character some justice. I mean, to the core.
I want to know one thing. So, in your head, real quick, like, what would be the nuttiest thing you would place him in? Without obviously blowing up a story idea, but...
Well,
what would be
a
situation you would place him in?
I would put him in the realm of heaven. And
all right. Oh damn.
Yeah. I would, and I would have him, and this might be controversial, but I would have him, you know, face, you know, an evil that heaven doesn't even realize they have up there.
That would be pretty crazy. So nobody trusts his ass anyway. That would be pretty nice. You're going to involve the angels?
All that. Tunnel? You know, I mean, you know, it will take some serious research because I do want to be consistent of, you know, in regards to it and just with any book that I develop.
All right. So let me ask you then, what the Constantine is. If he's your favorite character, no, let's go into the comic realm of it. So who would you say... What was your favorite rendition of it? Was it through the regular, when they integrated him into DCU proper? Or, you know, or was it through that the Vertigo series?
Vertigo. My Vertigo, 100%. You know, and I just think Vertigo doesn't get enough credit. I mean, it means...
They don't. I absolutely agree. I don't know, Josh, but, you know, definitely they don't. They do good stuff.
Yeah, they do good stuff. They don't... You know, like you said, they don't give their due diligence that they should. They're having to compete.
It's almost like DC's indie line, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
that's a great comparison. Like, you know, what Image is doing now, I believe Vertigo was doing years prior.
Yeah, I mean, right now from Vertigo, that's the one book I love by Lee Bermejo, which is The Suiciders, which is that post-apocalyptic MMA style, kind of the concept of what you guys said, but, you know, definitely, but based more on the future and not jail, but, you know, but definitely, it's a crazy, nutty-ass story. I don't know, I don't want to talk about it too much, the saying what it's about, but check it out.
Yeah, well, you, I'm going to check it out. Just on the strength where it's similar to the concept that we have within here, we have to know.
Yeah, you know, check it out. Suicide by Lee Bermejo. It's pretty cool, and right now they have it's the second volume out.
Definitely.
Oh, it's all right, man. I appreciate Lee Bermejo's artwork. I mean, writing. It's pretty sick, dude. You don't understand.
It's great.
So, going back to Rapid Eye, if you had the opportunity to have a writer or an artist take your character of Eddie, take your story, and collaborate with you for, say, we'll call it a special annual edition of Rapid Eye. Who would you want to be able to work with? Who would be your dream team on this book?
That's tough. I would say, in the writing aspect, Jason Aaron or Charles.
Ooh, Wolf. I like him. Very good.
Or Charles.
Oh, Wolf. Both. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. And on the artistic side, Sean Murphy.
Woo! Yeah, that's one of my, yo, dude, man, yeah. Yeah, man. Yo, Sean Murphy, the one book he did is the one if anybody asks me, what should I get into, I always say, read this first. Punk Rock Jesus.
Oh, that's his baby.
When I just found those, like, in single issues, I had to buy it ASAP. You know what I mean? I couldn't say no.
And he wrote that.
Yeah, dude, it's dope. Dope. Jesus on the Truman Show. That's what it is. That shit is dope.
That's awesome. So that being said, with that team created, what sort of crazy shit would you send Eddie into?
Oh, man.
What would you want to do if, you know, you've got your dream team? Obviously, that means that the budget and the resources are there. What would be the craziest idea or the craziest dream scenario that Eddie would be put in?
I almost...
The ultimate splash page. I'm thinking, like, oh, my God, this must be sick.
I almost feel that, you know, and that is a dream team, but I almost feel like the team I have now, right, we have an issue 4 to die for.
Mm. Really?
You're killing me now, because the way issue 1 ended, just the way, like, you got that one image, there's no words, and then all it says is to be continued, and I'm like, what? No. You know.
I was upset too, Josh. I was like, damn, really? Really? Ya con ese pone bueno, coño.
You know, but with issue 2, we touch on what happens to Patrick.
Oh. Because you guys don't really talk too much about what happens to him after Eddie drives off.
No, but you'll see it. You'll see it in issue 2.
So
I'll give you that much. And just another teaser, I would say that issue 2 was written before the TV episode of The Battle of the Bastards. And I'll leave it at that for GOT.
Okay, everybody look that shit up, and you're going to have to talk to us about it.
That's awesome. Okay, so that being said, so the book comes out
September 24th.
September 24th, okay.
And where can we find the book?
You can find the book on the website, tenaciouscomics.com.
Okay.
There's going to be two options, a digital download, a physical copy. All the titles are already set for pre-order, so they can be pre-ordered on the website, tenaciouscomics.com.
And what are your social media accounts? That way people could stay up on the up and up.
Yeah, it's my Facebook page, you know, Bobby Torres, with links to my email address. It's bltorres82@yahoo.com. My Instagram, Bobby bltorres82, and my Twitter, same thing. All the same. Nothing changed.
Awesome. I'm digging the consistency. So they can go on, they can pre-order the book. Now, if they want to pre-order the physical book, you know, they can have that shipped to them.
Oh yeah, they can have it shipped. It very reasonable shipping. Luke, he did an amazing job with trying to get the best distribution aspect in regards to getting our books out. And that being said, you know, we're not in Diamond, but he really set forth a good plan for it.
Okay. And let me ask you guys, are you guys going to be at any conventions?
Oh, we are. I'm going to Jacksonville, Florida in August, and we'll be at the convention in Jacksonville, Florida on the 20th of August and on the through the 20th to the 22nd.
Okay.
Man, and you should come out to Salt Lake September 1st through the 3rd, because that's where I'll be.
we're planning, you know, like, you know.
Bobby, don't just plan. You got to talk to him. He's the man.
The good thing is that, you know, we're a co-op, so, you know, not all of us can make every con, but someone in that region could represent Tenacious Comics and all the titles.
And let me ask you, I'm based in the Northeast in Mass. We have a couple of shows coming up, like the Northeast Comic Con, Rhode Island Comic Con, and then in Connecticut we got Terrific Con, and in August we also have the BCC. Are you going to be at any of those or any one of your representatives? And if not, man, let me know because I'll send you some emails. We got to get you out here.
I would say send me some emails. I would love to go to any of them. You know, I would personally go to those. Those, you know, my region and within my responsibility. So, you know, I would definitely love to go to those.
All right. So, in our little Skype chat, I'm going to go ahead and take care of you, send you some information, and just please let them know that I sent you.
Definitely.
So that, and they're gonna know what's up right there. I definitely would like to see you guys up here and showcase those books, man. So I'm telling you, man, I think you guys got a treasure trove of something. And again, being a small press, Cindy, you got the love right here. Let's go share it.
Much appreciated.
It's awesome. And then what do you think the possibility if we do something like, you know, with this awesome connection that we now have with you and with Tenacious about if they pre-order their copy of your book or any other Tenacious book, if there's a code like call it Flipside Focus for whatnot, that they could maybe even get a special signed copy of Rapid Eye number 1 from you. Absolutely. as a way of saying, hey, we listened to the podcast, we loved what we heard, we want this book.
A Flipside Focus special edition.
Exactly.
And, you know, we can make that happen.
So we got to talk, man. Definitely. This is the real deal, man. We're showing that love, not just for your book, but the brand in particular. And it is what it is, man. And, you know, let me ask, though. You have anything else other than Rapid Eye also in development? Or is this currently the one thing you're focusing on?
Well, I believe, I'm still fresh in the game, you know, so I have some skin in the game, but my mind is always on a creative aspect other than this particular focus that I'm in with Rapid Eye.
Okay.
So I can say that there will be other projects that's going to be developed by all the creators in Tenacious Comics, you know, aside from the initial titles that are going to be released.
Okay. Great.
That's fantastic.
And one being a horror. So I just want to put that out there.
Oh.
He's just trying to hook me. He's teasing people. He's teasing.
What are you talking about, Al? He had you hooked the moment he said zombie apocalypse. Let's be honest.
Oh, absolutely, man. That's my shit, man. I love stuff like that. And the, you know, gross. But also, again, I got to get involved into the characters. That's what makes other zombie books special sometimes. You know, you got to get invested in the characters. And I'm pretty sure that Bobby right here is going to do a kick-ass job or whatever creative team involved that they're going to make this shit happen proper.
Absolutely. Well, that being said, I do want to personally thank you, Bobby, for joining us on this very special episode of the Flipside Focus. This has been
a fantastic
opportunity. I'm, like I said, I'm chomping at the bit for issue 2. And for all of our listeners out there, make sure, and we'll make sure to put all the details and link all this information for you on our website at undercovercapes.com. We'll also make sure to tweet out all the special information, give our special guest here a lot of love and a lot of support for his amazing book. You guys definitely need to pick this up and make sure to listen to the other shows on the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. That being said, I am your host, the Random Dude Josh. We have Al Mega.
Yo, yo, later, people.
And again, our special guest, again, Bobby Torres, thank you so much for coming onto the show, for talking about your book.
Yeah, man, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And we will definitely be in touch and hopefully get you on the show again for issue 2, issue 3, maybe even 4, 5, 6, 7.
That'd be great.
So, awesome.
Yeah, man.
Thank you again.
Yeah, man. Hey, yo, dude, before we go, make sure you, as a body, you got to represent and make a body character, all right?
Definitely.
And if you want to call him Mad Mega, I don't mind, all right?
Well, I'll call him Flaco.
Oh, mirate. Typical, right?
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, guys, and we will catch you all on the Flip Side Focus next time.
Later.
Take care.
To our regular listeners, thanks for joining us on Flipside Focus. This podcast is produced every fortnight for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at undercovercapes.com. We wish you to come back often and feel free to add our podcast network to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter via Undercover Capes and Facebook at Undercover Capes 1. Our links are in our show notes, and make sure to visit our parent company, ComicCrusaders.com, for up-to-date news on all things comics. Thank you.